2 Kings tonight. So if you'll turn there, stand when you find it. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Okay. Our text is 9 through 12, but let's take a running start at it, and we'll just start in verse 1, and we'll read all the way to the end of verse 12. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now let me remind you that Elijah here is the man of God. Okay? Well, who's Elisha? He's the man of God in training, about to become the man of God. Okay? And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the son of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, so now they're at the second location, moving with God. And now this group of prophets, this group of men who have noticed that God's about to take Elijah away, they're reporting this to Elisha almost like, don't you know what's about to happen? Stirring things up, you know? Where are we? I got mixed up. Verse 5, I think. 6? Let's read verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they two stood by Jordan. So the imagery is this. You have 50 prophets who are just wanting to see what's about to happen. And Elijah is sort of off with Elisha, and he wraps his mantle together and he strikes the water. Let's look at that. Verse 8. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went on dry ground. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember when God used the rod of Moses and he lifted it and struck it and the waters of the Red Sea parted hither and thither and they walked across on dry ground? You know who did that? God did that. The power of God is at work right here. So they walked across on dry ground. Verse 9, it came to pass, this is our text, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. In other words, if you see me when I'm taken away, it'll be so. If you do not see me when I'm taken away, it will not be so. Verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and suddenly he was gone. What now? And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. Why would he do that? Rip his clothes. Why would he do that? It's a symbol of grief, isn't it? He's grieving. His man of God is left. Sort of this loneliness that's there. It's the imagery. Oh, but there's an excitement there too. And we're going to, God willing, unpack some of it tonight. So let's talk about the chariot of fire, and then let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We need to hear from you, so guide us in your path. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the grace of the Holy Spirit touching our hearts and your Spirit touching our heart and guiding us in the truth. We thank you for who you are, for being so faithful. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, I read the first part of this passage because it's really important to understand how amazing it was that Elisha was with Elijah when Elijah was taken away. Why was that a critical thing? Because at important phases of the movement, the final movements of the ministry of Elijah on this earth, he looked at Elisha and offered him the opportunity, I guess you could say it that way, to move his ministry or to do something else. And Elisha said, no, thank you, I'll stay with you. And they moved together. And then when they moved, there was a group of people, maybe we could say it like this, it seemed like everybody was coming up to Elisha and saying, why are you staying with him? Why are you, you know he's not going to be around much longer. Why are you staying with him? And Elisha says, I know what's happening. And I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. You just need to hold your peace. Elisha responded to the critics, didn't he? Or those who had a word to say to him about the ministry of Elijah coming to an end. All the way up to the final moment, where the final opportunity to depart was given, and Elisha said, I'm staying with you. Wrap the mantle together, that is Elijah, struck the water, it parted, and they walked across on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, the conversation ensued, where you had Elijah coming to Elisha and saying these words. Look at verse number 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. What is happening here is Elijah is looking at Elisha and asking before he leaves, what can I do for you? What would you like to be done for you? And Elisha said, I just want a double portion of your spirit on me. Now, what that doesn't mean is that Elisha was requesting for a double blessing or a double portion of popularity. What Elisha truly was asking was, as he watched and walked aside the ministry of Elijah, that Elisha saw his ministry and what God had done through this great man of God. And Elisha acknowledged that God had done great things all the way up to the moment that they were in right in that time. Walking across the river here, I think it's the Jordan, on dry ground. I mean, that's a miracle. Only God is doing this. And so Elisha is saying, when you leave, here's what I want, Elijah. I just want one thing. I want my ministry to carry on as your ministry was. So it's like this. Elijah was being used of God to do all of these incredible things. And it was God working through Elijah up until the moment that Elijah's about to go. And Elisha just requests this one thing. As you, in this time in timeline in history, and Elijah, you're going to be going, and I'm going to be going on. That as I go on in the ministry, that I carry on with the same spirit in the same ministry in the sense of the power of God working through the ministry that God gives me as you had. Now, that's an awesome request. By the way, I don't think that's an unreasonable request in the sense that that's Elisha's desire. He wanted to be used of God the same way that he had watched all of these years following behind in the footsteps of Elijah. I just want to be used of God like you had been. And Elijah probably, I don't know if it was me, if I can just sort of emotionally, in between the lines, just say that that was probably an encouraging thing for Elijah to hear, right? You have worked alongside with somebody and they find that you're going to be going on because God's moving you on. He's taking you on. And now you're going to have to press on alone in a sense. That there's not a kind of anger or bitterness there, but a desire to carry on in the same spirit that you had. That would have been an exciting thing, I think, for Elijah to hear. But it doesn't change this reality, that is an authority that Elijah didn't have. That request is an amazing as a request as it was. It's kind of like my kids. Now, obviously, I'm preaching about it right now, so I don't think it'll count. Like, so if you're wanting to play a video game and then you say this, I don't think it's going to count. But like one day down the road, the boys would come up to me and they would say something like this: "Dad, I just want to be like you." Wouldn't that be cool? Again, it's not going to get you any brownie points if tomorrow you say that. "Dad, I just want to be like you." You know, so can I watch that movie? You know, anyway. Elisha, it's as though he's just saying, if I could just have one thing, I would just want to be like you, Elijah. I think Elijah's like, that's pretty cool. I like that. But then Elijah acknowledged, I can't make you like me. I can't give you the power of God. It's not mine to give. That's what he said. Look at verse 10. He said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing." Now let me ask you this. When Elijah said, you just asked a hard thing, he wasn't saying, you asked something that's too hard for God. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing's too hard for God. But it's too hard for Elijah to grant that request. Elijah cannot grant that request. As much as he would have wanted to, I think, that's out of his hands. As much as Elijah would have wanted Elisha's ministry to go on in the same spirit, with double spirit, double the power of God working through him, an incredibly amazing thing. Double what anything Elijah did. When Elijah's gone, Elijah would have wanted it to be more. But it's not his to give. So what did he say? "Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away, it shall be done unto thee." Okay. I have heard that part right there preached in a weird way before, and I'm going to tell you what it is. So you can know that that's not what it means, okay? Here's what that does not mean. That doesn't mean this. That when Elijah is, because we know he's going to be taken away in a whirlwind, right? If you keep your eyes on me, and you see me go up in this whirlwind, Elisha, then it's going to be, you're going to get it. In other words, it's not conditional on Elisha's ability to keep his eyes on Elijah. Because that would get weird fast, right? I mean, think about it. He would have to literally walk around and look at him all day, every day until it happened. "You got to go to the bathroom? Forget about it. I got to watch you the whole time. What if the whirlwind comes and I'm not watching you? And I missed out." You see, this God is not making this conditional on Elisha's ability to keep his eyes on Elijah. Here's what Elijah is telling Elisha. Obviously, God's going to be taking me away. God's going to do that. Now, how God's going to do that and when God's going to do that, that's up to God. But if you're with me, and we're walking together, and it's time for me to go, and God allows you to see this happen, then that is God's way of telling you, Elisha, that you're going to get the double blessing of, or the double portion of the Spirit. In other words, you're going to be able to carry on the ministry as Elijah did. I don't know when God's going to take me, but if God allows you to see it, then that is God's way of telling you, Elisha, you're going to get that blessing. And that's such a powerful thought. Why? Because what Elijah is doing here is he's telling Elisha that you need to understand that this is in God's hands. The blessing of God and the power of God in the ministry moving forward in your ministry, it's not in Elijah's hands and it's not a gift that he can give. This is something that's going to come from God. God's the one. He's the only one who has the authority to do this. So the boys gave me a call, I think it was yesterday, and Grandpa Ron is around. And Grandpa Ron, listen, he has to be, all of my life, one of the most giving people I've ever met in all of my life. Have you ever heard this said, he'll give you the shirt off his back? Have you ever heard that? Like, I used to think that people wouldn't actually do that. I think Ron would do that. He would give you something. He would give, and he doesn't have, because he gave, and he's not mad about it at all. Just giving. So the boys are with him, and he says, I want to get you guys Christmas presents. And they're pumped. And so Ron says, hey, listen, what do you want? And they're like, well, what do you mean, what do we want? Like, what do we want? Like, mom and dad is okay with, you know, or like clothes or something? Or what do we want? What do we want? You know, like, what do you want? What do you want? Like, okay. Let's pull, God. And then I could see them huddling up. All right, guys, we're going to huddle up. This is gonna be, putting their plan together. Okay, Grandpa Ron. And eyes get big, like puppy eyes, you know. We really want, and then it was this video game thing, right? But we already know our dad will say no. You asked us what we want, but I already know what dad's going to say. Did you even ask him? No, but we don't need to ask him because we already know. You know, I can almost hear it. You know. Well, how do you know if you don't ask him? Okay. So I get a call. And I know what's happening like within seconds. I know what's happened. Like, well, we were going to do these shoes, but I already know. Like, I could write the script now. And they know me so well too, so I'm like Captain No in my house. So as soon as he said we were going to get shoes, I immediately stopped the conversation and I said this: I know my kids want video games, and the answer is no. I just said it right at the beginning, but then I got convicted about it. The Lord knows my heart. I got convicted for being like that, you know. And they were right, too. Anyway, so I did say no right at the beginning. And then I stopped and I said, hang on a second. And I pray. I actually talked to the Lord about this, you know. Like, is the Lord interested in video games? I don't know. But I'm talking to the Lord because I am thankful for the spirit of the boys. They've really been a blessing. Now I'm bragging on them. I'm not going to look at them. They have been. And minus one of them, but he's back there, so no. I'm kidding. No, you've been great. That was totally a joke. Anyway, so I stopped and I prayed. The Lord knows my heart. I prayed. And I knew Grandpa Ron wanted to do this for them. And this is a special thing, you know? So I said, I issued like four warnings. Legit warnings. Do you want to actually get to play these games? These are the conditions. And then I said, you can have it. And oh man, it was like rejoicing, you know, go tell it on the mountain, right? Like, if you guys were only as excited about the Lord as you are that. Anyway, no. So here's the point I'm making with that. The boys knew that this wasn't going to happen unless Dad said that it's okay. Elijah knew that about God. Elisha wanted the blessing that wanted the blessing that his mentor Elijah had, and the power in the ministry for the ministry that God would give Elisha. He wanted it. But Elijah knew that it wasn't his to give. This is something that only can come from God. Do you realize how wise we would be to acknowledge in life that when we just bulldoze our way through stuff because we think that we're in charge, how much more problems that causes for us than if we would just stop and ask God for his blessing or for his wisdom, or that if he would allow these things to happen, and just let God be in charge. And so Elijah said, it's not a condition, if you do this, then this will happen. If you keep your eyes on me all of the time, then when I'm taken away, it wasn't conditional on Elisha. It was conditional on whether God was going to bring this blessing on Elisha. If God allows you to see me when I'm taken away, that's God telling you, you're going to be blessed. So he puts it right back on God. And we are wise to do that. We're wise to move forward and letting God be in charge. So suddenly, while they're walking, the Bible says that a chariot of fire appeared. Look at verse 11. It came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Now, this is Sony, and parted them both asunder. I wasn't going to do this, but I think I will. Let's see. Brother Chad and Brother Tim, why don't you guys come up here? So, Brother Tim, you stand here, and Brother Chad, you stand here, and let's face this way. So, you know, we're going to have Elijah and Elisha, okay? That's up to the Lord, amen? We're going to put it in God's hand. So, Elijah and Elisha, okay? The mentor and the one who is following the man of God. All of the ministry, following. The Bible says they're walking and having the conversation that we just talked through. And as they're talking, and Elijah is telling Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken away, then that's God telling you you're going to have the blessing of my spirit in the ministry. While they're talking, the Bible says that a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire. Now, how cool would it have been if, you know, like I had Brother Josh and Brother Toby, like, dressed in flames, not actual flames, but, you know, look, something that looks like flame, and a wheelbarrow, you know, and the wheelbarrow could be the chariot. You guys come running through and just sort of run right through the middle of them. You jump in, right? So the idea here is that this chariot comes through and parts them, just right in between them, and goes right between them. Look what happens next. It says in verse number 11, the chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted both of them asunder, parted them. And Elijah, in that instance, Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and he was gone. So you can go sit down. He's out of here. He's gone. Then, verse 12, Elisha saw it. Elisha saw it. What's that mean? It means that Elisha knows that God has brought a blessing to his ministry as he's going to move forward and serve the Lord as the man of God. That's awesome. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Tim. So, what God is doing is He is showing us that, watch this, you can't miss this, He's showing us that the chariot of fire parted them asunder. The imagery is this. You've walked together in the ministry. You've walked together in the ministry. How long? For a while. And it's been pretty awesome. And in the instant that the chariot of fire parted them, they weren't together in the ministry anymore. Now Elisha has his ministry, and God has taken Elijah in the whirlwind. They were parted. The imagery is this. God parted them. God parted them. You know what it wasn't? It wasn't somebody got offended. Elijah didn't get offended at Elisha. And now they're parted. It wasn't a kind of selfishness. It wasn't ambition. Where Elisha, although our Elisha said, I want to be Elijah. You know, it wasn't an ambition. Where Elisha, you know, wanted Elijah to get out of the way. Man, if you just get out of the way, we could really do something here. It wasn't that. The chariot of fire is what separated them. And Elijah was gone, and Elisha went on with the blessing of the Spirit of God on him as a promise from God, because he saw. Okay. So what does that mean for us? Well, let me say this first. 2016, Brother Chad, you graduated from Heartland. 6 years ago. Almost. Okay. The summer before that, which would have made it 7 years ago, you came to our church that summer as an intern. But I actually met Brother Chad the year before that. Or was it your freshman year we met at in Wichita? It was the year before that. So I've known Brother Chad for a while. The very first time I met Brother Chad, I think you were a freshman at Heartland for a second year. You were a second year, okay. And I was in charge of logistics at a men's recharge in Wichita, Kansas. What is logistics? Cleaning the bathrooms and setting up chairs, okay? Logistics is a cool name for all of that stuff. So I was in charge of all of those things. We offered, I think, three Heartland, maybe two, but possibly, I can't remember exactly, but three Heartland guys the chance to come to the men's recharge in Wichita. If they would clean the bathrooms, they could come for no money. Now, if you're a college student, you don't have any money anyway. Amen? When my wife and I went on a date, like when we were in college, we would go to Mexican food because you're getting chips. And if you just order a bowl of tortilla soup and share it, you know, that's like $4. And then you can eat all you can eat chips and salsa. That's college. That's what you do when you're in college, okay? So Brother Chad found out, men's recharge for free, I'm in. So he's there. And the first, stand up, Grant. You're going to be Brother Chad for a second. So these Heartland guys come in. Actually, all three of you guys stand up. You stand up too. These Heartland guys come in, and we're in the cafeteria, and we got all these chairs and stuff to set up, and I'm needing to tell these. So you guys hover around me because I'm going to tell you what to do here. So I'm giving instructions, and Brother Chad is like standing right here, and he is so locked in. These guys are kind of like what you see right there, and so we're not sure if they're here or not. And Brother Chad, I need you to focus. So I'm saying, okay, I need you to set up these chairs. I need you to, you know, get the bathrooms ready and make sure everything's stocked, ready to go. Break. And then everybody goes. And these guys disappear. I don't see them until everything starts. Brother Chad comes back to me like in 20 minutes and says, hey, I got the chairs done and I got some bathroom stuff done. Is there anything else I can do? I'm like, all right. I'll write this on the pad of paper right here. The other two guys didn't do that. And I'm like, hey, you know, I actually do have something I need you to do. Will you do this and this? And he did that, and then he comes back to me again. He says, hey, I did these two other things, and we're going to start here in a few minutes. Anything else I can do? I'm like, yeah, you can give me your name, and I'm going to remember this. Okay, you guys can sit down. So obviously, I remember that. The next year, I'm at Heartland at Home Church Planting Conference, and we're presenting as church planters in Fall City, Nebraska, and just trying to get the finances to be able to be here. In those days, we didn't have a lot. And we were barely making it. And Brother Gaddis, the president of the college and the pastor of the church down there, comes to me and he says, "Brother Ben, we, our church, Southwest Baptist Church, we talked about sponsoring a Heartland student to come and intern at a church because we know you can't afford it. We want to pay for him to come and be with you all summer." And I said, "Whoa, amen, thank you." And then Brother Gaddis said this, "Do you have any student in mind that you would like to have him come and intern for you that summer?" Duh. I've only had one person in mind for 2 years up until that moment. I said, "I'd like to have Brother Chad Berry." And Brother Gaddis goes like this. "Oh." "I didn't know, but he was going to give you an internship that summer. Too bad, so sad." We got him. So, brother, no, it's the Lord, you know. So, Brother Chad, you came that summer, and what a summer it was. God, we set up junior church. We had no junior church. Brother Chad set that up, and then he went back to school, and then we're like, okay, who's going to do junior church now, you know? But it was good. It was good, because God, I think, used that in our lives to see the blessing of Brother Chad and gave a sort of a burden for you, you know, about that ministry, about the ministry here. Goes back for his senior year of school. And, you know, we saw it as a one summer thing, and God had big plans for Brother Chad. And I didn't assume that we were going to be a part of it. I didn't. So then February, his senior year, he was with us summer. Fast forward to February, he's coming up on spring where he graduates. And he calls me, we're texting about things, and he's asking me for prayer. Because when he graduates, he has three opportunities. And if I'm wrong on details, then don't say anything, because it's better when I tell the story. I think this is right, though. He had three opportunities after school, offers. Michigan, Phoenix, and California? Okay. Yeah, okay. So, but you didn't tell me about that. You just said, "Pray for me about these opportunities." I said, "Man, Michigan and Phoenix, these are great opportunities. I'm going to pray for you about it." And then he said this, "But there's one more." I said, "Okay, what is it?" "Fall City." I said, "What? I mean, I'm excited about it, but we don't have anything to give you. We don't even have enough finances to pay our salary. We're supported." He said, "I want to come if you'll have me." "Yeah, we'll have you. Come on." Came, lived with us for a year. That was exciting. Lots of great memories. Ethan, every night, Ethan was like this big, you know. He would come into his room every night. "Brother Chad, is this your room? Is that your bed? Are those your shoes?" Every night. Like, oh man, okay. So then got to the end of that summer, and God moved, and Brother Chad's going to be with us. He's going to be with us. And I was so excited. And then I think it would have been about a year later, he started to say, "Hey, there's this girl. She's from Washington. And her name's Chelsea, and I know we're kind of talking right now." I'm like, ooh, I'm two thumbs up about it. And so the Lord started to work in that way. And Brother Chad's getting locked into ministry here. And now Miss Chelsea's coming on the scene. And then somehow, it was the hand of God that Miss Chelsea married Brother Chad. Amen. Yes, sir. And we all rejoice about that. Because Brother Chad married, I mean, way over his head. So God is good, and I did the same thing. But anyway, so Brother Chad, Miss Chelsea, and now we're fast forwarding, and then we have little Mila coming on the scene. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that was! And then Kara, and how we have found that these two little girls are totally different in personality. Mercy. And then baby Nora, who is perfect in every way, or at least right now she is. God's given us Brother Chad. And God has given us Miss Chelsea and Mila and Kara and Nora. And you know, this is so neat, you know, that God has allowed us to walk like this in the ministry, arm in arm, for these years. It's special. It's a blessing. And I hope you can see up until this moment that it's been God who has done this. God has done this. All of the way, God has done it. Remember, I can't talk to her. Remember the days? Let me just say it, because I remember. I remember the days early on when we would go to the prayer closet, because we were lonely. And we would say, God, would you bring us somebody to minister together with? Just like a friend. You know, he doesn't have to be really smart. You know? And God answered our prayer. No, we didn't pray that. But we did pray, God, just somebody like a Silas so we can minister together. And God did it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, God did that. It's so obvious. I mean, you see this story and how God brought this together. And God moved in the heart of a man who, it seemed like, and you told me this, it seemed like everybody was saying, why are you going to Fall City? It sounds familiar, right? Like, there were a lot of people who were telling Elisha, why are you following Elijah around? You know he's not going to be around, right? Why are you following him? I know what's happening. You just need to hold your peace. Just move forward. And so, a couple of years ago, I started getting these phone calls. Actually, it's been probably more than a couple of years, because you know how time just sort of jams together and flies by. But it's been a few years ago, I started getting phone calls like this. Hey, how's Brother Chad doing there in Fall City? I'm like, hey, he's doing great. Why? I'm like, well, there's this church in town, right? There's this church in this town. And, you know, I just have Brother Chad on my heart if you feel like he maybe is ready to be a pastor. I said, well, I'm going to tell you emotionally my feeling about what this phone call means to me. You know, no, I wasn't ever mean. I always said this because it's always been true. Brother Chad has been ready for a long time, in my opinion. I never said it to him because I didn't want to put anything in his mind. I always said the opposite. You know, where Chad, don't get any ideas, man. But I've known for a while. Started getting all these phone calls, and I got a lot of them. And I would always say the same thing, Brother Chad. And by the way, what a blessing it is that pastors would call me first before they would call Brother Chad. That's the right way to do it. And so I would pray. I would talk to Brother Chad. I'd say, here's the situation. They're interested in you becoming their pastor, and here's my feeling about it. I love you. We love you. We're a family. Things are great. But if you feel God's moving and working, you be where God wants you to be. And I always said that, didn't I? And I would give you the number, and you would pray. Sometimes maybe you would call or you would talk to them. And it was always, God's not doing this. And I would just trust that God knows what He's doing, you know? And we would just keep going. But you know, when that started happening, it seems kind of obvious, right? Like, this is going to happen someday. Like, I don't know when, but it's like you can tell that you have a man of God, and you have a man of God. That at some point, watch this, you have a man of God, and you have a man of God, that at some point, the chariot of fire is going to appear. And when the chariot of fire appears, it just has one job. It just put right between the two men of God and parted them. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was God saying, you press on in ministry because I'm with you. Your power, the power that was with Elijah, which was never Elijah's power, it was the power of God that was with Elijah, is with you. And Elijah went where God wanted him to go, in the whirlwind. And Elisha is going to move on and do great things for God in the power of God. And you know what appeared? It was the chariot of fire. Do you know what the chariot of fire is? I think it seems pretty obvious, right? It was God. It was God saying, it's time for the men of God to go and minister in this direction and this direction. Now, we look at this and we say, you know, God did that. How can you not? Not emotions. Emotions are real, and I feel them as much as you do. We've invested 10 years not only of our time, but of our heart and of our life to Fall City, and I have no regrets about that. But when God sends the chariot of fire to part the men of God, then what we have to say, we have to say this if we're wise, that God did this. God did this. And so now it's time for us to say, Elisha's about to have a great ministry because the power of God's going to be on him. You know, I think there's a fear. Well, what if, this is legitimate, we're almost done. There's a legitimate fear here, I think. What if this happens and the ministry's hindered, right? What if this happens and the ministry's hindered? Wouldn't that have been the concern that Elisha had? Which was why he requested a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, that he wouldn't have wanted the ministry to be hindered by the absence of Elijah. That God says with the chariot of fire, God says, my power is with you and the ministry will not be hindered. It's just time to move forward with the power of God. The chariot of fire is God's way of showing Elijah and Elisha that he did this. You know, I think we saw this morning, I know you maybe don't know this, Brother Josh, but God used you this morning. You maybe don't even know it. But this is hard. This is hard for all of us. If you have a heart, this is hard. You want to be positive, but you're like, this stinks, you know? So we've been praying that God would allow things to happen and things to be smooth, you know, because God's doing it. And Brother Tim, you, when we're together, you say, I'm willing to do as the Lord is leading in my heart to step up into that position. Others, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but others have said, I'll step into that place. And then Brother Josh, when you were standing here this morning and you said that maybe God would work in your heart to allow you to preach to junior church, like Melissa almost fell off the backside of that wall right there. She forgot what was about to happen. Am I supposed to play the piano right now? That was the Lord. You know, it was the Lord. Watch. It was the Lord reminding us that God's doing this. The ministry's not going to be hindered. It's going to go forward. The chariot of fire is God. So we have to let God be God and trust Him. And yes, enjoy the next few weeks and allow there to be closure and allow there to be a positive. This is a positive thing. and see it that way. And then embrace Brother Chad. Embrace him. Tell this or well that, or fear this, or I don't want this, or God's doing this. And my I believe that it's obvious, and it would be wise to embrace what God is doing. I have other things I want to say, but we're going to be done. Just remember this. God is the chariot of fire. He's the chariot of fire. Father, tonight, I am so grateful that you have revealed yourself in times past, like in the instance with Elijah and Elisha. And Lord, I rejoice about that story as we look at it. But it certainly has new meaning in my life, as I believe in so many ways I had seen you, I mean, watched you do almost the same thing. And it seems so obvious that you have orchestrated this. And so I pray for a few things, Lord. I pray first that you would help us as a church to trust you, because you know what you're doing and you're in control. I also pray, Father, that you would help our church to be in unity, surrounding themselves both in spirit and in heart and in confidence in you as the church moves forward with Brother Chad, and with Brother Tim, and with Brother Josh, and with others in the church here who have filled the role that you've called them to fill. And so I pray that you would give confidence to your people tonight, that you're doing a special work. Help us to have comfort and courage and strength as you continue to do miraculous things through this. Lord, I pray for each individual tonight that maybe still battles with this, that you would do something in their heart just to affirm your special work. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the grace that you've poured out in us through our salvation. Help us to trust you in spite of what our hearts sometimes say. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Josh will play the invitation.